Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Arcane Cultivator, Book 2, by Harmon Cooper. Narrated by Neil Heligers. Arcane Cultivator Recap. Contains spoilers. Things go terribly wrong at Jaden's treen ceremony. Expecting to class as an Aquaseer, Gale Caller, or Stone Shaper, after which he'd then join a water harvesting sect, Jaden is devastated to see that the system hasn't given him a class. This is cause for concern, and it also means all the time he has spent preparing for that moment has gone to waste. His memory wiped, Jaden is banished and transported by a Gale Caller to the desert. Rather than leave Jaden to wander until his death, this Gale Caller begins to torment him, which forces Jaden into action. He uses Madras and other water harvester powers to combat the Gale Caller's advances, powers he didn't know he had. They are remnants from the lessons Jaden's parents, a water harvester and a warrior nun, taught him. Zephyros, the enemy Gale Caller of the Breaker sect that has been tormenting Jaden, ultimately leaves. Later, after nearly getting killed by a desert yokai known as a Dune Howler, Jaden encounters Luca, Gale Caller of the Nomad Water sect. Her sect is a small, unsanctioned sect of water harvesters run by a man named Elder Brother. Aside from Luca, there are two other harvesters, Rhodes, a stone shaper, and Caspian, an aquaseer. Luca brings Jaden back to her sect, but hides him away in a cave while the others continue to mourn a recent loss. The loss is quite personal to Luca. Alicia, who was killed by a rock daemon, was Luca's twin sister. Alicia also happened to be betrothed to Rhodes, who was still dealing with the trauma of the loss, considering he was there when it happened. Jaden is discovered the next day by Elder Brother. He unlocks the Arcane Cultivator system, which allows Jaden to make use of Madras, Arcane Cards, and Water Harvester skills. Jaden classes in Arcane Meditation, and soon begin training with Caspian for an inevitable fight against Rhodes, who doesn't want him to be part of the group. He joins them as they take on a smaller rock daemon. The group continues toward a water vein that Caspian has been following. They discover that it is buried deep within a desert dungeon. Once they free it, they emerge from the dungeon to find Zephyros and the Breaker sect waiting for them. A fight ensues, and Jaden ends up striking Zephyros in the face hard enough to cause permanent damage. The Nomad Water sect moves on with the water vein. Once they have delivered it, they take on a group of bandits known as Duskfires and start toward the west, to an area of Southfall called No Man's Crossing. Jaden continues to improve the Madras he has learned, all in an effort to eventually fight Rhodes, but this day never comes. Instead of a fight, the Nomad sect welcomes Jaden into their group. For the next 6 months, they pursue the rock daemon that killed Alicia, while also forging bonds and searching for water veins. Jaden is meditating one morning when a rock daemon attacks their camp. The creature seemingly kills the other three water harvesters and crushes Elder Brother. Jaden is able to stop the rock daemon with Elder Brother's staff. A new being appears, the messenger of the gods, who tells Jaden that Caspian, Luca, and Rhodes are alive, being held in a pocket realm, and that he must complete the first pillar of the Tournament of the Gods if he wants to free them. Jaden, now known as a celestial champion, has 10 days to reach Mount Dawn. Panicked, Jaden soon discovers that there is more in Elder Brother's tent than he had originally thought, a contraption that seems to lead to another world. Using his Aqualect power, Jaden is able to communicate with Caspian and get further instructions from him, and he is told to use a new card he received, one known as Wild Tongue, to get a Sunstrider camel. Jaden will ride west and look for a man named Ariosto, a warrior monk. After fighting a horde of desert rake, Jaden joins with a Sunstrider named Boda. The Sunstrider camel, often complaining, gladly takes Jaden west. Along the way, they encounter the Tidecaller sect, who challenge Jaden to a fight for the camel. He defeats their Gale Caller, proving just how strong he has become in 6 months, and moves on. Once they reach a small village known as Linaka's Gift, Jaden and Boda take a ship to Karakoram. They camp along the outside of the city, and Jaden is attacked by thieves the next morning, who he manages to defeat. Taking Caspian's advice, he heads to the Relic Hunter Tavern to see if he can find Ariosto. He trades a relic he picked up in the desert for information about the warrior monk, and encounters Ariosto in his garden. Ariosto is a Bakaneko, which means he is a yokai that can morph into a human. He has trained as a water harvester and a warrior monk, and spends the next several days teaching Jaden more Madras, how to use Elder Brother's staff as a weapon, preparing him to take the next tier, which will unlock his secondary class. Jaden can't decide what secondary class he should unlock. Ariosto shows him one of his dragon meridians, which would be accessible if he uses martial arts mastery, which is what Jaden decides would be best to improve his powers. but he still has to reach the next tier first. After more training, he finally has a breakthrough and takes his next class. He also gets a new arcane card, one known as Lightstep. Jaden feels he has gotten to a good level with his staff and departs the next morning for Mount Dawn. After consulting with his fellow harvesters, Jaden arrives by way of the Dry River using a new power known as Tidewalk. Upon reaching the monument, one of three giant swords sticking out of the side of the mountain, Jaden is attacked by Zephyros, who breaks his arm. Fortunately, he is rescued by two other harvesters, Kay, an Aquaseer from the Whispering Wind sect, and Alara, a stone shaper from the Sandrout sect. They are also celestial champions. While they wait for the messenger of the gods to appear, Jaden tries to heal his broken arm using one of his meditative powers. He is unable to. He befriends Kay, who makes him a sling. Once the messenger of the gods returns, it is explained to Jaden and the other harvesters that there will be four different legs of the tournament, and that they will compete against themselves. The messenger of the gods reveals the names of the first three challenges, which Jaden later surmises are related to the elements. But it doesn't tell them the final challenge. The first challenge, known as the Tempest Trials, has Jaden traveling from floating platform to floating platform. The only problem is he doesn't know which way the wind is going to blow. He manages to use his ability to talk to water to help him, but it gets too challenging. A new idea comes to him, and he tries to speak to the wind itself. This opens up a new water harvester skill, one known as Breathbinder. He completes the challenge, and is instantly transported into a dungeon deep in the ground for the March of the Cataclysm challenge. Moving from chamber to chamber, Jaden takes on dungeon guardians, imps, and a Vortic dragon. He's eventually able to reach the heart of the dungeon, which he must destroy before he can complete the challenge. He does so, and is transported to the Testament of the Tides challenge. Jaden, who can't swim, instantly finds himself flailing in a big body of water that is slowly rising. Using his Aqualect power, he's able to communicate with the water, which helps him swim to the bottom of the chamber to unlock a series of water locks. Once the water is drained, he's able to complete the Testament of the Tides and go to the final challenge, which pits him against a Sandfang. Because of the creature's size, Jaden instinctively charges his staff using Aetheric Crescendo and hurls it at the giant wolf, which instantly kills it. He has done something similar before in a Dragon Meridian and is surprised it worked. The messenger of the gods appears and tells Jaden he has completed all four challenges and he now has a choice. Return to the real world with his fellow water harvesters and forfeit the tournament, or continue to the second pillar, which starts in 6 months. Jaden chooses to compete. He's returned to the real world, where he finds Kay sobbing. The half-iced Nordian water harvester chose to forfeit, and for this choice, her sect mates were killed, and she's now forced to compete in the second pillar alone. As Caspian, Luca, and Rhodes return, Jaden asks Kay to join them. She agrees, as does Boda, and they both get their Nomad Water sect markings later that day. The first novel ends with Luca finally being able to translate some of the carvings on Elder Brother's staff. While some of it is still obscured and will need to be translated after making a print, she finds a few lines that explains that Elder Brother won the Tournament of the Gods 100 years ago. He has also left a blueprint in the form of his carvings for them to decipher, which Jaden and the others hope will give them a leg up going forward. Part 1. Suspension. Chapter 1. The Celebration of Order. All that Jaden could think of the next morning was that Elder Brother had left the Nomad Water sect a blueprint. The only problem was that this blueprint was carved into the dead man's staff, and to make matters worse, the words were backward. They would need to get to civilization, get some ink, and put it down on parchment. Only then would Luca be able to translate it. The dynamics of everything in Jaden's life had changed in ways he still couldn't fathom. For 10 days, he had worked to grow stronger so he could rescue the other members of the Nomad Water sect. He had met Boda, a Sunstrider camel, along the way, and there was also Kay, a D-rank Aquaseer of the Whispering Wind sect, who had been tricked by the gods. She was now a member of the Nomad Water sect, along with Rhodes, the Stone Shaper, Caspian, the Aquaseer, and Luca, the Gale Caller, who often doubled as their leader. But Jaden had a feeling the adventure was only just beginning. Yet, before they did anything, they needed to get the message on the staff translated. Jaden assumed that the closest city would be Karakorum. Yet according to Caspian, it would be faster for them to go north to Nalik, a city named after a dragon. To do so, they would take Dry River. Jaden had a water harvester skill known as Tidewalk, but his was only at level 1. Caspian's was much higher. High enough that the Aquaseer would be able to transport their entire group over the waves, including their camel. 6 months, Luca reminded all of them the next morning as they shared dried fruit and meat for breakfast. She ripped a piece of dried melon with her teeth. 6 months before we have to come back and tackle the next pillar. Normally, Jaden would have meditated in the morning, but he had overslept, and he felt bad for it. Not that he should have. What Jaden had just been through, the psychological and endurance-based challenges associated with the first pillar, had been something that a younger version of him couldn't have fathomed. But he had made it through, and he deserved the rest. Like Jaden, Rhodes had also overslept, the big stone shaper just now waking at Luca's announcement. The three of them were in the pocket shelter, which allowed them to camp anywhere they liked. The shelter had been one of the best objects Jaden had received from Elder Brother. He knew it would come in handy in the future. The only thing strange about it was the fact that it existed in a pocket realm, the entirety of the space consisting of a platform surrounded by an endless void. Anything that went over the side would disappear into eternity, trapped between realms. Jaden didn't quite know how it worked, but he had used its void nature once before, when a bandit had assaulted him outside of Karakorum. Even though it was a great item to have, it was also incredibly dangerous.
"We could relax for the day,"
Rhodes told her on the tail end of a big yawn, one that seemed to rattle the shelter's platform.
"Please, Pebbleheart. The sooner we find ink and get this translated, the sooner we can see what Elder Brother has to say. 6 months. Have you already forgotten how long we have?"
"How could I?" he asked with a snort. "You keep reminding me."
"I'm repeating myself because it's important. The two Aquaseers are already up,"
she said as she squinted up to the top of the pocket shelter. The pale light illuminating the platform was quickly blocked out by Boda.
"It is about time you woke up."
"Good morning to you, too," Jaden called up to the camel.
"While you have been sleeping, the Aquaseers have continued plotting a course to Nalik by way of the Dry River. As I've already told you, I do not like their plan. Consider this a warning."
"Why don't you like their plan?" Jaden asked.
"Come up here and find out for yourself."
Boda turned away. Luca laughed.
"I love that camel. No idea what Handsome is saying, but I like him."
"He has been mostly irritable to me so far, Windscourge,"
Rhodes said as he finally got to his feet. He did so making a painful sound, as if he were 40 years older than his current age.
"You sound like a grandfather."
"I feel like a grandfather."
Rhodes found a water skin and squirted it into his mouth. He sprayed some on his head as well.
Too much kvass."
"You weren't saying that last night, when you were singing songs and toasting the sky."
"I was toasting the sky?"
"Indeed you were. And you'll be fine. Let's get up there."
Luca floated to the top.
"Come on."
Jaden joined her after summoning some of the dragon essence around him. Rhodes was the last one out, the big man climbing up the ladder and barely squeezing through the opening. Once he was on solid ground again, Jaden grabbed the pocket shelter, returning it to its normal size, which he was able to place in his bag.
"Are you ready?" he asked Bota.
"I am fine with flying, but swimming?"
"You won't be swimming," Jada assured Boda. "Tidewalk isn't swimming. You've seen me travel like this as well."
"Yes, I saw you travel like this while I stayed on land. Dry land."
He reached his head down and kissed the dirt.
"Dry land. Nothing better. Although I do like water when I am thirsty, but you know what I mean."
"You don't have to go with us at all," Jaden reminded the Sunstrider camel.
"True, actually. I have no other response aside from what you said is true. I really don't have to go with you, and maybe I shouldn't. But I suppose I'm going to anyway. Someone needs to protect the Nomad Water sect from themselves."
"Thanks."
Boda held his head high.
"You're very welcome."
Caspian handed the staff to Jaden, interrupting their moment. He had been training with the staff that morning, and the wood was slightly warm.
"Are you sure you want me to wield it?"
"I am. His staff is yours."
"Just don't lose it," Rhodes added. "We sort of need that thing. Can you imagine if he lost the thing? We'd be so pissed."
"How would he lose it, Pebbleheart?"
"I don't know," he told Luca. "The Southfallian Desert is large. Have you ever thought about how much stuff has been lost in a desert?"
"No, I don't waste my time thinking about things like that."
"And that, my friends, is the spirit of someone who will never find treasure."
"Anything I should know about Nalik?" Jaden asked before the two could really start into one another. "I've never been before."
I forgot that dry spell comes from the mountains. As for what you should know, Rhodes looked to Luca. She would be the expert.
Did you grow up there or something? Kay asked, the first words Jaden had heard out of the Isnordian that morning. Her white hair was swept back, revealing a pair of elven ears.
No, Rhodes said for the Gale Caller. But Windscourge is practically royalty, and she has been to most of the cities in Southfall. I'm guessing she stayed at some of the best hotels, too. You know the ones.
Rhodes didn't elaborate on what he meant by practically royalty, but Jaden knew. Luca and her twin sister, Alicia, now dead, were bastards of the Southfallian Crown Ravenna, the ruler of their kingdom. She had been raised with an education and had traveled extensively through the region. Luca playfully slugged Rhodes.
Because Nalik is close to the Middling border, it is famous for its trade. There are numerous markets there, the most popular of which is probably the Night Market, which is known as the Bazaar of Stars. It is the densest city of Southfall, I can tell you that, and the food there is amazing. They cook with exotic fruits, and the bread is just...
She smacked her lips. That good. The sweets there are amazing as well, made from dates and other desert fruits. I don't know anything about the hotels, but the sweets, I know about those.
Rhodes howled with laughter.
What? They really are that good. You will see. When we get there, I'll take you to...
We aren't there for a food tour,
Caspian reminded Luca.
Relax, Brineborn. By the time we get to Nalik, it will be night anyway, which means that there will be a night market. They call it that for a reason, you know? Which means that there will be food, which means that we will need to stay the night, which makes sense anyway, because it'll take the ink some time to dry.
Don't worry. We won't have too much fun, she assured him.
In that case, we should get moving, Jaden said. You really did change, Rhodes told him as they set off.
Why do you say that?
You're leading the charge, just like Windscourge and Brineborn are used to doing. Speaking of which, what's the pecking order around here? Maybe we should establish that before we set off on some grand adventure.
Actually, that's not a bad idea, Caspian said as he stopped and turned to them. With five of us,
six,
Boda huffed.
Six. Jaden said for the camel.
With the six of us, especially if we start visiting cities, we will need some kind of order, someone with the final say.
I elect you, Luca told Caspian.
Same, Jaden said. Rhodes shrugged. I would have elected myself, but I'm not going to win this one.
Kay nodded.
Whatever Jaden says.
I guess that leaves me. Boda grinned at the group. There are places and practices that you five know as water harvesters, and the same goes for me as a camel. So in the desert, I am in charge. Actually, co-charge.
He is saying he's in charge, or co-charge, in the desert, Jaden told the others.
Works for me, Lucas said. Any objections?
The Nomad Water sect collectively shook their heads. Rhodes swatted at an insect that had landed on the back of his neck.
That settles it, then. Caspian said. Let's get to the river and move on. I agree, even though I don't want to swim.
Boda threw his head back and let out a shrill sound, one that caused Rhodes to jump to the side.
What was that for?
A celebration of order,
the camel told them before turning to the west. The dry river was calmer than Jaden remembered it being. Perhaps that was because he had been alone the last time he traveled over it, moving at night, with nefarious desert yokai running along the bank. It certainly felt better to do this with his friends around, even with the tournament they had been forced into always at the forefront of their minds. Jaden hadn't forgotten what he felt directly after completing the first pillar, this sense that the gods needed to be punished for what they had done, not just for taking his companions and killing Elder Brother, but also for what they had done to Kay. But how? The Tournament of the Gods only happened once every 100 years. Elder Brother had won the last tournament, and like Jaden during his treen ceremony, the older man's memory of this victory had been stripped away. They had a blueprint. This gave them both hope and hesitation. To what extent did they need to go? Who would have to die for them to accomplish their task? And more importantly, what would their task be? Surely it was to win the second pillar and move on to the third, but was there another way to break free? The gods weren't going to let them off easy. Kay had tried to forfeit the tournament entirely, and she had been punished with the death of her companions. Jidan had tools at his disposal, things he had picked up since becoming a water harvester. He accessed his stats now and examined them quickly, now that the group had reached the river. Name, Jidan. Tier, Adept. Rank D, Class, Arcane Cultivator. Arcane Meditation, Rank B. Intermediate Meditation, Level 6. Astral Projection Meditation, Level 1. Elemental Breathing, Level 4. Healing Meditation, Level 2. Martial Arts Mastery. Core Nexus Meridian, 4% clear. Dragon Essence, 115 of 115. Arcane Cards. Codex Vault, Level 1, Passive. Ignition Glyph, Level 3. Light Step, Level 1. Spectral Shroud, Level 3. Wild Tongue, Level 3. Water Harvester Skills. Aqualect, Level 3. Drake Sight, Level 4. Breathbinder, Level 1. Tide Walk, Level 1. Water Weaving, Level 3. Madras. Aetheric Crescendo, Level 3. Aura Burst, Level 6. Aetherblade Fang, Level 2. Dragon Aura, Level 8. Dragon Essence Cycling, Level 3. Scaled Lash, Level 2. Void Drift, Level 4. Void Shift, Level 4. Jidan had started his cultivation journey with Arcane Meditation and had later taken Martial Arts Mastery, which gave him access to his meridians. That was something he would need to explore later with his companions. There were the Arcane Cards that he had, which provided a variety of skills. Then there were his Water Harvester skills, things like Aqualect and Breathbinder. Finally, there were Madras, hand gestures that summoned certain powers, his favorites being Void Shift and Void Drift. Aetheric Crescendo was a powerful one as well, which had allowed him to defeat the Sand Fang during the first pillar. So many ways to fight. Yet he couldn't shake this feeling that there was so little time.
"Well, I'm ready," Rhodes said as he stretched his arms out.
He turned away from the water and fell backward, where he was quickly swept up by either Caspian or Kay. Jidan couldn't be certain. Rhodes laughed until Lucas sent a twist of wind his way that flipped him over, so the water blasted him in the face.
"Hey!
Everyone hop in," Caspian said as he glanced at Boda. "You included."
"I can't believe I'm doing this."
Boda approached the water. Rather than step in, he stepped on top of it, the camel's black eyes filling with delight.
"This really is something."
Soon their entire group was traveling on top of the water, all but Luca, who flew overhead, wind spiraling around her.
"I don't know why they don't have more aquaseers on the coasts," Rhodes said. "You'd be able to catch fish so quickly. People always want fish. People are always hungry."
"Our duty is in the interior, finding water veins."
I know, I'm just saying.
"Otherwise, you're right. We would be better closer to the water." As always, Caspian spoke in a calm and collected way. Beyond him, Kay also surfed on top of the waves with more precision than Jidan could muster. The pair made it look easy, like they were just gliding along, whereas Jidan experienced turbulence when he used the skill, not able to shake the feeling that he could easily trip himself up and slip over the side.
"I can help you,"
Kay told him as he put his arms out for balance. "It's better that I practice this myself." She offered him a firm nod. Due to her Ice-Nordian nature, Kay's skin was much paler than the others, who had tanned in the desert sun. This made her gleam in a way, stand out from the others. Her ears wouldn't make it any easier. Jidan knew that Ice-Nordian elves were scorned in certain parts of Southfall, even if there were enclaves that lived in the southern cities. For hundreds of years, Ice-Nordians had ruled the four kingdoms of the Sagaland. They were no longer in charge, but there was still a lot of bad blood. Kay noticed him looking at her.
"What is it?"
Jidan, who didn't realize he had been staring, turned the other way. "I thought I saw something." She looked around.
"Where?"
"Somewhere. It was a mirage." She laughed.
"You should be used to discerning the difference between a mirage and something real by now."
They continued on, only stopping once so Rhodes could relieve himself.
"I could just do it in the river,"
he said for what felt like the seventh time.
"Bad pebble heart, Bat. Now hurry. We need to reach Nalik," Luca told him.
Once he returned, they took to the water again, moving even faster this time. Boda didn't like it, but he only complained a little before finally giving it up.
"At least the water makes it cooler."
There was a subtle misting of water that combated the desert sun to some degree. It also created rainbows if Jidan looked too deeply at the mist. The day turned to evening, and it was at that point that they turned to the north. Luca took over from here, floating the group over the sand, even faster than they could go on their own.
"How much longer?" Rhodes asked at some point.
"We should reach Nalik by nightfall," Caspian said. The Aquaseer had fully given in to Luca's influence and had his arms behind his back. Hopefully we won't encounter anything strange along the way. A few hours later, as they were heading up a dune, the group heard some commotion beyond. The sect dropped low, closer to the sand. Lucas sent a tendril of wind forward to find out what was happening. The wind returned and spoke to her, all of them able to hear its report.
Ahead, a caravan has been surrounded by bandits. What would you like to do?
Caspian and Luca exchanged glances.
What do you think? She asked.
We still have a duty as water harvesters to help those in need, he said as he immediately pressed to his feet. Rhodes cracked his knuckles.
I'm looking forward to this.
Chapter 2 Finders Keepers. Fighting high-powered water harvesters would have been a bad idea for the bandits had they not been part of the Duskfire clan, who were known to tangle with harvesters, even if they shouldn't. The group drew serrated swords and a variety of clubs.
No powers, Caspian said as he brought his fists to the ready.
The fight kicked off, the bandits all charging Caspian at once.
It was amazing to watch him work, the Aquaseer fast striking with precision and speed.
Luca mostly hung back, but Rhodes jumped into the fray, the stone shaper delivering huge strikes that sounded like someone striking a bag of flour. While Caspian and Rhodes took on the majority of the group, Jaden, Bota, and Kay chased the fleeing ones, who were trying to get away so they could better use crossbows. The camel was the first to strike, Bota bringing his feet down onto a man and instantly killing him. Not far from him, Kay quickly showed a side of herself that Jaden had not yet seen. With her water-based skills, she was able to form a malleable fist of sand that struck one of the bandits in the face.
Tsuh!
Hopping into the fray, Jaden used scaled lash to grab onto the legs of one of the bandits and whip the man to the ground. Another bandit moved on Jaden, and he activated his void shift power, completely absorbing the strike. He redistributed this attack, which blew the cutthroat backward, straight into Rhodes, who lifted the man over his head and brought him down hard across his knee. A couple of the larger men that were part of the caravan grabbed spears and helped Jaden and his group. Soon, most of the bandits were dead, and the others were taken prisoner. The fight was over before it started.
Where are you heading?
Luca asked the head driver of the caravan after they had seen to the prisoners. He had already thanked them for helping, as had all of the passengers. As per their nature, the Nomad Water sect quickly moved past their appreciation, not wanting to bask in the glory of beating a group of low-powered bandits.
Nalik? The man grunted. We're headed to Nalik.
Same.
The city isn't far away, the man said. To be honest, I'm surprised they would attack this close.
I am as well. They always try for the cities in the fall,
a woman seated in one of the caravans said.
There's more wealth at that time coming in and out. Food. They have to prepare for winter.
We all do.
The caravan leader turned to one of the bandits, who now had a black eye.
Do you have anything to say for yourselves?
The bandit spat at his feet. Rhodes lifted his fist like he was going to slug him, but Caspian stopped the stone shaper.
What about the others?
Kay asked, politely referring to the bodies.
We will stay back, make sure they are properly buried, and then come to the city. You should go along, Caspian told the caravan leader.
Livia was with us tonight, he said. Not exactly true. But I'll take it.
Jaden petted Bota. I'll take it too. Soon the caravan was heading to the north again, and the Nomad Water sect was digging graves. This was easy with Rhodes's powers, the stone shaper able to move the soil with ease. Once the graves were dug, Luca lowered the bodies in. Rhodes said a few words and covered them, marking the graves with any information they could find on the bandits, which wasn't much. They didn't carry any sort of identification, but they had plenty of weapons and some coins in them as well.
Finders keepers, Rhodes said as he pocketed some change.
We might want some of that money in Nalik, Lucas said, for treats.
I hope for your sake you get your treats, Windscourge.
I have a little money too, Jaden told the group. Ariosto gave it to me.
Yes, Ariosto. We will need to visit him again at some point, Caspian said.
Jaden agreed. Ariosto knew what he was doing when it came to training water harvester powers.
The Bakaneko had been a harvester himself, and he had been a warrior monk. Jaden knew he would be instrumental later on, closer to the tournament date, where he would likely run them through drills and get them ready for the second pillar. And he happened to be in Karakoram, which was pretty much a straight shot to Mount Dawn.
Onward to Nalik, Kay said. Is anyone familiar with that poem?
Maybe Wind Scourge is.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?